there. This is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
Remember we said last week that Spain was at the far western extreme of the Roman Empire, that Spain was wild and uncivilized and completely unevangelized. And so Paul said, that's my kind of country. Those are the kind of places I love going. Because he says in verse 20, it's always been my ambition to preach the message of Jesus Christ where Christ was not already known, that I might not build upon someone else's foundation. Paul saw himself as a pioneering missionary. He saw himself as a person whom God had called to take the message of Jesus into virgin territory where no one else has ministered. And so Paul said, you know what? Spain is perfect for me. That's exactly where I'm going. But before I go to Spain, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. You say, why? Well, he explains it in verse 25. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in order to serve the believers there. And everything was going great until a few Jewish people from Greece. You know, remember how in Philippi they ran him out of town, and how in Thessalonica they ran him out of town, and in Berea they ran him out of town. Well, some of these Jewish people who had run Paul out of town there were visiting the temple in Jerusalem. They saw him in the temple. They recognized him in the temple. And they started going, ooh, 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 it's him, it's him, he's the one. And this enormous riot started in the temple aimed at the Apostle Paul. He would have been killed. The Bible's clear about that. They would have killed him, except the Roman army came rushing into this riot and arrested Paul. That's the only thing that saved his life. Now, we're going to talk more about this when we get to Acts 21. But the important thing for our consideration this morning is to understand that this riot set into motion the events that completely altered Paul's plans for the rest of his life. It altered his plans about Spain, altered his plans about Rome, altered his plans about everything. Let me show you how his plan changed. Number one, as a result of getting arrested, he got arrested by the Roman army. They took him to their headquarters in Caesarea, about 30 miles today north of modern-day Tel Aviv, and they put him in jail. Well, second, the Roman governor, Felix, whose headquarters was there in Caesarea, heard his case, and third, decided that he was not going to make any decision about Paul's case. So fourth, Paul ended up spending the next 2 years chained up in jail in Caesarea, awaiting for somebody to make a decision about his case. Fifth, when Festus, the new governor, came and replaced Felix, the Jewish people came to Festus and said, hey, you know, you're new, and you'd like to earn our goodwill. That would be a good idea. So what we want you to do, we want you to send Paul back up to Jerusalem and let us try him there. But the truth is, they were going to ambush him on the way and kill him. Paul found out about this and said, hey, you know what? Things are kind of going from bad to worse here. So he took advantage of a right that he had as a Roman citizen. Any Roman citizen could appeal their case directly to the emperor if they wanted. So he said, I appeal to Caesar. And they said, to Caesar you've appealed, and to Caesar you shall go. And so in chains, with a Roman military guard, they shipped him off on a boat to go to Rome, where he would actually stand trial before Emperor Nero, the Caesar, himself. Now, along the way to Rome, Paul got shipwrecked. He got bitten by a poisonous snake. He got stranded on the island of Malta for 3 months. And when he finally did arrive in Rome, he was put under house arrest. He was chained 24 hours a day to a Roman soldier. And for 2 solid years, he remained under house arrest in Rome, waiting for his opportunity to go before the emperor and present his case. This is where the book of Acts ends, with the Apostle Paul in jail in Rome, and with Spain just a distant pipe dream. And you talk about somebody getting their plans radically changed, huh? You talk about God stepping in and scrambling up your plans. Paul gets to Rome 3 years later than he plans, and he stays in Rome a lot longer than he planned, and he's in jail the whole time. Now, that's as far as we want to go today in our passage, because it's time to ask a question. You know the question, don't you? You're dying to ask this question, aren't you? Yeah? Are you? Okay, well then let's do it. You ready? One, two, three.
So what?
Right. Say, Lon, so what? Say, you know, I feel sorry for Paul and all, but really, yeah, I mean, what difference does any of that make to me? The worst part of that whole story was the thing about getting bit by the poisonous snake. No, I agree. I mean, you know, shipwreck me on an island, maroon me in the middle of the Mediterranean, but don't get a snake anywhere near me. I hate snakes. Now, that has nothing to do with the message. It's an aside, but I hate snakes. And maybe some of you do, too. That's the worst part of the story. You say, but yeah, none of that makes any difference to me whatsoever. Well, wait a minute. Yes, it does. Friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, every one of us has had happen to us what happened to the Apostle Paul. Every one of us has had plans that we mapped out for life, and we have seen God at certain points in our life step in and radically alter those plans. Some of us plan to be married by this point in our lives, but we're not. We're single. Some of us, we plan to be part of a happy family for all of our days, and then divorce struck that family. Some of us plan to get that new job or that new promotion, but we didn't get it. Some of us plan to be with the same company our entire career, but we're not with them anymore. Some of us plan to grow old with our mate and do all kinds of traveling around, but then the Lord took them. Some of us plan to do all kinds of things in our life, and then our health failed. Some of us plan to have children by now, but we can't get pregnant. Some of us plan to go to a certain college, and then they wrote us a nice little one-page letter and said, sorry, we know you'd like to come here, but we don't want you. Some of us plan to make a ball team or a cheerleading squad, and we got cut. Some of us plan to be financially secure by this point in our life, and then the NASDAQ went south. Some of us had great plans for our children that we carefully mapped out. But to be honest, they're struggling today. They're struggling academically and emotionally and spiritually. And then some of us here are like Brenda and me, into whose lives God sent a child with severe disabilities, and none of the dreams and none of the plans that we had for her when she was born are ever going to come true. Friends, the issue is not whether God sometimes alters our plans. He does. And sometimes he alters those plans radically. The issue is, how does God want us to look at it when this happens? What is the worldview God wants us to bring to these alterations? What is the lens that God wants us to see these changes and plans through? And how does God want us to absorb them into our life, integrate them into our life, and react and go on with life? This is what we want to talk about today. I want to share a verse of scripture with you. Proverbs 16:9. It says, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, what this verse is telling us is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you may have planned out your life perfectly. You may have it planned out down to the final detail and precision, with precision. But this verse is telling us that the actual path that God uses to get us where he wants us to go is often very different than the one that we originally mapped out for ourselves. And yet this verse is telling us that in spite of all the unexpected turns and twists that may occur, this verse is promising us that God is directing our steps, making sure that we get where we need to go, when we need to get there, and we get there with the experiences we need to have so we can be a success when we actually arrive there. Let me just stop and say, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your real and personal Savior, this verse has got some really good news for you. Because, you know, when you come into a relationship with Christ, what do you get? Well, you get eternal life? Yeah. You get a secure place in heaven? Yeah. You get a relationship with the living God? Yeah. You also get, this verse says, the living God himself acting as the guide of how are you going to move through the maze of this life. Directing your steps through the maze of the choices in this world. And you know, if you're tired, if you're here and you're tired of trying to figure out how to work through the maze of this life by yourself, then the great news of the Bible is you don't have to worry about it yourself. You don't have to figure it out yourself. There's an all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God who'll figure it out for you if you'll just let him and direct your steps. Hey, something to think about. Well, now, for those of us, though, who are followers of Christ here today, the point is, did this really happen with Paul? When God really did all these changes in his plan, was God really directing his steps in some way that things turned out right for Paul? Well, yeah. When Paul got to Rome, 3 years later than he planned, in chains, with Spain not even on the horizon of his future, look what he wrote to the church of Philippi. He's in jail in Rome now, and here's what he writes them. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually turned out for the greater progress of the kingdom of God. You say, Lon, wait a minute, stop right there. You're going to try to convince me that rotting in a jail for 2 years, getting shipwrecked on an island, getting bit by a poisonous snake advanced the kingdom of God? You're going to try to convince me of that? Paul must have been smoking something. What was he smoking to make a comment like that? Well, wait a minute. I am going to convince you of that. Because you know what? When Paul was in jail in Caesarea, he got the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with King Agrippa and his wife Bernice. That was an opportunity he would never have gotten if he had followed his own plan. While he was in jail in Caesarea, he got the opportunity to share Christ with two Roman governors, Felix and Festus. That would never have happened according to his plan. When Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, and that snake bit him, and he didn't die, the whole island showed up to want to know why this man didn't die from that snake, and he had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with the entire island of Malta. That wouldn't have happened if Paul had followed his plan. Then he gets to Rome, and now he's going to have the opportunity to go in front of the emperor of the Roman Empire. Do you understand that? The emperor of the Roman Empire, the Caesar himself, and share Jesus Christ with Caesar Nero. Now, that would not have been an appointment that Paul would have gotten if he'd have come to Rome on his own plan. And lastly, the Bible says, remember we said earlier, he was chained, handcuffed to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day for 2 years. In Philippians 1, he tells us who those soldiers were. They were the Praetorian Guard, the elite personal bodyguard of the Caesar himself. They were the ones who were assigned Paul's custody. And so every 8 hours, a member of the Praetorian Guard had to come in and put handcuffs on and for 8 hours sit down next to the Apostle Paul. Now, if you're an unbelieving Roman soldier, can you imagine what it would be like to be chained to the Apostle Paul for 8 straight hours? What are you going to talk about? Well, I guarantee you one of the things you're going to talk about is Jesus Christ and how he wants to change your life. And Paul says in Philippians 1, by the end of 2 years, that almost the entire Praetorian Guard had come to Christ. Why? That's what happens when you get chained to Paul. Now, none of that would have happened if Paul had come to Rome his way. And what Paul is really saying in these verses is, I ended up in Rome all right, but I got here God's way. I didn't get here my way. And you know, looking back, Paul says, God's way turned out to be a whole lot better than the way I had planned. Now, folks, you see, this is the worldview. This is the mindset. This is the lens through which God wants us to see our circumstances. And this is the worldview of a true man or a woman of God. A true man or a woman of God, they make their plans in life. You have to make plans in life. But a true man or woman of God never set their plans in concrete. They set their plans in marshmallow, if you understand what I'm saying. Because they believe something. They believe, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. A true man or woman of God believes that God has a specific divine plan that is unique for every one of their lives. And they also believe that everything God allows into our lives, every twist, every turn, every change in direction, is all part of God working out this plan for our good and a future and a hope in our life. True men and women of God understand that God leads us better than we could ever lead ourselves. He has better ways of getting us where we need to go, when we need to go there, with the experiences we need to be successful there. And that's why when God makes a change in their direction, true men and women of God are at peace because they say, okay, God, I put my plans in marshmallow to start with, and if you think I need to go over to Y instead of going to Z the way I planned, Y is fine because you're directing my steps, and that's a good thing. Friends, this is the kind of person God wants you to be. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is the attitude he wants your life to have. He wants you to be a person who, when God decides to direct your steps differently than you planned, you don't resist it, you don't resent it, you don't rebel against it. Instead, you just submit to the wise and loving hand of your Heavenly Father, confident that when the dust settles, you will be able to say, just like the Apostle Paul said, these things have happened to me, that have happened to me, have turned out not only for the progress of God's kingdom, but they've also turned out for my best interest as well. Now, to do this, you know what? You got to walk by faith. That's the only way to do this. Walking by faith simply means trusting God even when you don't understand exactly what he's doing. Trusting God even when you don't understand exactly why he's switching your plans around. And this is what the great men and women of God have always done. They've walked by faith. You know, I think of Adoniram Judson, great famous American missionary. He left America in 1811, and he had a very clear plan as to what he was going to do with his life. He and his wife, Anne, were going to India. They were going to work the rest of their life in India with William Carey, the father of modern missions, in Calcutta, India. It was all mapped out. And when they got to Calcutta, they had a big surprise. Because India was run at that time by the British East India Company. And the British East India Company, they had to let William Carey into India because he was a British citizen. But they did not have to let an American missionary into India, and they wouldn't. And they said to Adoniram Judson, you're not coming in. And so there he was. And he said, God, what do I do now? But because he was walking by faith, he said, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I'm going to trust you anyway. I know you called me somewhere in Southeast Asia. I thought it was India. But if it's not, I'm going to get on a boat and sail around. And the first country that lets me and Ann in to start preaching, that's where we're going to assume you've taken us. And so they sailed around and landed in Burma. And Burma let them in. And for the next 35 years, Adoniram Judson was the first and the only missionary in the country of Burma, but by the time he died in 1853, Adoniram Judson had led over 7,000 Burmese people to Christ personally. He had started 53 self-supporting churches. He had translated the entire Bible into Burmese, the same translation that's used today in Burma. And one day he met a young man in Rangoon from the Karen tribe up in the hills of northern Burma, led this young man to Christ. This man took the message of Jesus back to the Karen tribe. And today, 150 years later, there are over 100,000 believers in the Karen tribe in northern Burma. They have Christian schools. They have self-supporting churches. And they send missionaries to the rest of the country of Burma and to all of Southeast Asia. Hey, did God know what he was doing with Adoniram Judson? You bet he did. You know, a couple of years ago, Time magazine chose the person of the century. And when the magazine came, I remember saying to my wife, Brenda, just railing about this, what an injustice this was. I said to her, this is a gross injustice. In my opinion, it was an open and shut case. The man of the 20th century should have been Winston Churchill. But as Hitler began to rise to power, he was the lone voice saying, you got to stop this man. You got to deal with this man. Don't give him Czechoslovakia. Don't give him Austria. Don't give him anything. Don't appease this man. He wants war. He's going to start war. You need to deal with him. Everybody said Churchill was crazy until 1939 when Hitler attacked Poland. And then King George VI called Winston Churchill up on his estate and asked him if he would consider coming back and taking over as prime minister of the country of Great Britain. And all of a sudden, at age 66, Winston Churchill had his dream. Not the way he planned, but he had his dream. And folks, it was his grit and his tenacity single-handedly that turned around the war. He wrote when he came to the prime minister's office in 1940 these words, looking back on all the twists in his life. He wrote, and I quote, I felt as if I were walking with destiny. and that all my past life had been but a preparation for this hour and for this trial. End of quote. You know what Winston Churchill's saying there, folks? What he's saying is that he was now able to look back on God's plan for his life and see that God's plan had been perfect the whole time. He was now able to look back on his defeats, his failures, his experiences, and see how God had worked every one of them in, whether Churchill understood it or not, to prepare him for the greatest challenge and the greatest crisis of his life and the greatest crisis of the 20th century for the Western world. And he said, looking back, I can see now that God did a better job of planning my life out than I could have ever done myself. Now, Winston Churchill was a nominal believer at best. And if he could look back and see that about his life, my question is, why can't we as devout followers of Jesus Christ look back and see that about our lives? Well, we can, and we should. And let me remind you in closing of our verse, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And folks, that's the way you want it. You don't want to be directing your steps. You want God directing your steps. You want Jesus Christ directing your steps. You want an all-knowing, all-loving, sovereign, powerful God to be running the show in your life and deciding where your next foot goes and where the next foot goes and where the next step goes. You don't want to be doing that. And neither do I, because, folks, we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the insight, we don't have the perspective to be able to be doing that. That's how we step on landmines and blow our legs off, friends. You want God directing your steps. And so, when he does it, and he directs it in a different way than you want to go, friend, we ought to be able to say, you know what? I can look back and see how God always did it perfectly in the past. Why would I think God's going to do it any different in the future? See, it doesn't take anybody special, doesn't take a man of God or a woman of God to look back and say, oh, I could really see how God did that in the past. I see that. That doesn't take a man or a woman of God. A man or woman of God is distinguished by their ability to look forward and see that. That's what sets a man or a woman of God apart. The ability to say, you know what? I don't have any idea why things are going the way they are. I don't understand what's happening in my life. I can't figure out why it's taken the twist that it has. But I know this, that the same God who did it perfectly in the past is the same God I've got for the future. And when I look back, I'm walking by sight. But you know what? When I look forward, I'm going to walk by faith because I got that same God. Now that's a man or a woman of God. Those are the people who changed the world for Jesus Christ. And those are the people that God is looking for today. You be one of those people, and God will rock your life with his blessing. May God help you be one of them. Lord Jesus, as you know, we're just people. And when stuff doesn't go the way we've planned it, when stuff doesn't even go the way we want it, we don't often react so well. We begin accusing you, impugning you, slandering you. We get angry, mad, bitter, depressed. When really what we ought to do is be able to say, well, the Lord's directing my steps, and I can rejoice in that. I don't understand it, but I'm going to walk by faith. And so, Lord, this is a biblical worldview. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's possible because Paul did it. Judson did it. It can be done. And so, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit in such a way that we're able to see our circumstances this way, that we're able to look at the twists and turns in our path through this lens of scriptural truth, that we bring the worldview of the Bible to our life, not a secular worldview. And for the many of us here, Father, who even to this day don't understand why some of the things are going on in our life that they are, God, grant that we might say, the mind of man plans his way, but I'm going to rejoice in the fact that the Lord directs his steps. And Lord, I pray that you would bring real peace to the hearts of some people here today that haven't had it over things in their life because of their contact with the Word of God this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?